This is a production of Cornell University.
Yeah. Where can you do it for free? Even the government's like, oh, just want those.
I wouldn't mind if you walk in and all of this pro-Christian propaganda. I could have to sit and wait in line through.
When I lived in Collegetown, I voted at the church over there. So I don't think there was that much propaganda in the entryway.
This was an event.
That seat's actually for John. No, you're good. We're meeting again tomorrow. How are you?
Why have we done it?
Members of the assembly?
Mm-hmm.
What is the attendance policy? I feel like Naj well outlived that policy.
Mm-hmm.
How do you manage that?
Because there was not the political will to do it.
There's a
no one would have been that bad.
Well, sure.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Yeah.
Who am I getting your food, taking your seat? We're going to get started.
Okay.
The time is 4:32 p.m. There's a quorum present, so I am calling this meeting of the University Assembly to order. First on our agenda, actually, would be a welcome, because we have a member. I don't know if Jeff, I don't know if you've ever had a chance to introduce yourself.
No, not
so,
at the time, yeah,
we're welcome. We're glad to have Jeff on it. He's been on the Assembly for a little bit, but never had a chance to catch up at the beginning. So welcome to the Assembly. If you'd like to say a few brief words about yourself.
Yeah, I am a graduate student representative. I'm taking the school. And I'm very excited to be a part of this. And ongoing discussions and education, yeah.
So vet school?
Yeah, I'm a graduate student in the vet school.
And what kind of vet stuff are you doing?
Genomics mostly.
Who's what?
Thank you.
Any questions for Jeff? Hearing none, we'll move into call for late additions to the agenda. Are there any late additions? Hearing none, we'll move on to approval of the minutes. Attached to find the approval of the 10:16 minutes. Because they were sent out relatively late, I'd ask if there's no objections, actually would be tabled, probably postpone these until the next meeting. But if you have any corrections or amendments to make now, we'd be happy to entertain them. Hearing none, there's no speakers. Is there a motion to postpone these minutes until our next meeting? I see a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any dissent? Hearing none, the minutes will be postponed until our next meeting. Next up is Assembly Committee and Liaison Reports. So traditionally, as we talked about at the beginning of the year, we're going to be moving towards a first meeting this semester. We don't do reports or be streamlined. Second meeting, we do full reports. This meeting, as I mentioned in my email earlier, unfortunately, the Title IX office was relative, like, it was very hard to get in contact with. We emailed them a while ago, sent follow-ups, and only heard back yesterday where they told me it's the business that they couldn't attend. So we have more time in our meeting than originally projected. So we're going to go through reports in a little more detail. First up is the student assembly. Dale, I know Joe's going to get settled, but if you do want to prevent, an overroom will not be in attendance.
I don't have any updates ready for the full assembly. Joe can touch on anything
Notable that we've done? Oh, yeah, notable. Last meeting, the student assembly passed a resolution in response to the potential memo from the Trump administration that would redefine sex under Title IX as only linked to the genitalia at birth. So we passed a resolution, again, affirming our support for transgender students and gender non-binary students at Cornell, also asking Title IX to issue guidance of what that might look like for students at Cornell if this memo would go into effect. And looking at ways students can get involved at the state level to lobby for GENDA, which would be a New York state law that would end discrimination for trans, that would create a state law to ban discrimination on gender identity and expression. So that's kind of the big thing we've done. Other than that, a lot of funding requests, a lot of dealing with money, but that's it.
Thank you very much, Joe. Any questions for Joe? Hearing none, we'll move on to the Congressional Student Assembly, Karina.
This past weekend, we just had the ID Plus Summit, and Cornell hosted delegates from other grad student governments from other schools like Harvard and, you know, Ivy Plus, MIT and U Chicago, essentially the plus. And we shared sort of like issues and solutions to issues that other schools are, you know, implementing and what we can learn from them. So I am really happy that we had that at our school. Another thing is this year is the 25th anniversary of the GPSA. So there will be a year of celebration, I guess. And we're kicking off the event this Friday, November 2nd. 4:30 to 5:30 at the Big Red Barn. We're giving out beer tickets for free, and there will be, I think, fresh pizza and cake. And then there will be more events like that throughout the semester and next semester to celebrate. I think that's
it. Thank you. Any questions for Rena? Hearing none, we'd go into employee assembly. Craig actually emailed me saying he's unfortunately unable to attend. He did provide an update and said that Vice President Mary Opperman and he are continuing the staff discussions So far, the prior two events had great feedback, and there are 9 events remaining. So wish them all of that. Is there anything else the employee members wish to add? We'd be happy to hear that.
So one thing I would add is after the attempted sexual assault on campus where the employee and a student hopped in, I'm not going to remember the time, it was like 8 p.m. on Sunday most recently, the employee assembly is working to recognize both of those individuals for their outstanding Cornelian definiteness.
Thank you. Any questions? Yeah.
I know that the student assembly also was looking to recognize both individuals, and I think we were waiting to hear back from Craig about how he wanted us to proceed on that, seeing as there was also an employee involved. So
okay.
You can pass that along. We're waiting to follow your lead on that.
Okay, great.
Any other questions for Chris, or I guess regarding Craig's statement? Hearing none, move on to the Faculty Senate. Charlie has also mentioned he is unable to attend this afternoon. If any of the employee members have, or any faculty members have anything to add or to report.
There was one thing that I think was important to many of us, and that is the scheduling of classes. So there's a ongoing reform of standards, class times, in which there are a number of issues, but the two issues that I think are probably the most important right now is permitting undergraduate classes to be scheduled after 4:30, on which they're now prohibited, except very, very limited exceptions. And the other one is to abolish, for the most part, not entirely perhaps, 50-minute classes. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday classes would be gone, and all classes would be Monday, Tuesday, they'd be 75 instead of 50 minutes. Those are the two reforms that were prominently discussed. There are others besides that, but those are the two that are most prominent. This is going to be an involved process, so that's what it looks like. So if you have, if you have strong opinions, let us know. So I think probably, well, it's a guess, prediction. I think the 50-minute class thing probably will go through, except for some things like languages, in which they argue that the 50 is optimal. But for the others, I think that may go through. So if you're against it, you probably should make your issues known. And the classes after 4:30, that's going to be complex because it'll run into student activities, and the question there is how to make classes and activities compatible.
Thank you. I have Joe on the speaker's list and Dietrich. Anyone else please raise your hand or placard?
Could I ask if we could turn this off because it actually interferes with hearing people down there? Is there any reason to have this on?
Sure, I think we turn off the projector. I'm sure we can leave the recording running, but just
thank you.
So I have Dietrich, Dale, Joe, and then Steve.
Yeah. Just probably more questions for Charlie about like process and like when students will be firmly involved in the process, because I can see it's a four classes after 4:30 being a very big push against that. I mean, this starts at 4:30, so I would have to move my schedule around this meeting to stay on for whenever this gets changed. But where in the process of formalization of students will be in, like no, we have our liaisons to like the conversation, but a formalized feedback time.
Right. No, it's a the process is, of course, it's the dean of faculty, it's Charlie, dean of faculty, who's running it. It was a report to the faculty senate, so the faculty senate doesn't decide it. It's got a preliminary overview. So I think addressing Charlie directly, that would be a good thing to do.
Okay.
He's going to do this. I mean, he's going to consult everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he's good at this. No, the student activities thing, just to describe it a bit, if it's not required courses, then it doesn't conflict with student activities as severely as it would if there were required ones. So that's
Sorry, just to clarify, this would state that, like, will this at some point be shown formally in front of everyone such that everyone can see this? Like, when will this be made public, these proposed changes?
Oh, I think it's going to be sometime in the spring that there's going to be a proposal, a set of proposals that are made. Now, right now, this is just reports. In fact, Charlie will probably report to us, I would think, the same way. We just had an earlier one. No, it's a long ways from this. It's like the calendar thing. You know, the calendar process, in fact, I think most people were happy with that way of consulting and the pace of that, of those proposals. So I think that's what he's looking at as a model.
Thank you.
Next is Dale, then T, Jeff, Ashwin, and Rena.
So is there a separate committee that's been made to do this, or is this being done by the Educational Policy Committee?
The EPC must have a member on this committee. There is a committee.
Because I know when the calendar view was done, we got sent two undergraduate members that were actively involved, and we've heard nothing from Charlie about getting undergraduate
involved. We may not have appointed the committee yet. The EPC, from the discussion in the Faculty Senate, the EPC was either assuming or was direct, had been guaranteed some kind of role in this. I would address Charlie first.
And can I just ask, do you know any of the rationale as why we need, why there is a push to schedule classes between 4:30 and 7:30? Is there not enough time in the rest of the day?
Well, it's the basic thing is flexibility in everybody's schedule. So for some faculty members, you know, having that slot as opposed to, particularly if they don't have kids, you know, is something that I teach my graduate classes at night, always do, so that they don't conflict with other things. And some faculty may want to offer undergraduate classes for the same reason. They don't conflict with the rest of the schedule for them. So it's partly flexibility. And the other thing is the use of the plant. The physical plant is like restaurants. I mean, they break even on lunch, but they're using the same facility, so it helps to pay down. And the same way with universities, you got classrooms and they're empty at night. So part of it is physical plant, part of it is flexibility when you're remodeling buildings. I mean, a lot of reasons to do this. The central part of it is going to be whether students want to take classes at night and faculty want to teach them.
Of course, we do have night classes Monday and Wednesday at 7:30. We just have nothing in that 3-hour gap between 4:30 and 7:30.
Yeah, but there aren't very many at night. And the 4:30 one is, yeah. I mean, in the government department, we did this for, I was associate chair, and I did it as an experiment. And it actually worked quite well, but I suspect that faculty are going to be resistant or even more resistant than students to do it. So I'm not sure that this change is going to be a revolutionary one as opposed to just permission. That's a yes.
Thank you. Next is the team.
So just a clarification about the, I guess, abolition of Monday and Wednesday classes. Does that to say that classes would only be allowed on Tuesdays and Thursdays? Timing.
It's the 50-minute class slots would be abolished. They are Monday, Wednesday, Friday, usually.
Okay.
So Monday, Wednesday are usually 75 minutes, the same as a Tuesday, Thursday. And there probably would be some Wednesday, Friday classes, though faculty are really reluctant to do Friday, and so are students. So, I mean, they have this thing in Congress that called the Tuesday, Thursday Club. You know, a lot of students do the Tuesday, Thursday Club. They go to New York City or they go wherever. But Friday is not a big class day. But, Monday, Wednesday certainly would be used. But one of the things that was up on the slot was Harvard evidently has pushed its 50-minute classes and now only do pairs Monday, Wednesday, and Tuesday, Thursday. And it seems to work well for them. So we're looking, I mean,
Harvard?
Hmm? That's at Harvard, yes.
My follow-up question, I guess, was going to be, like, how well does this work for students, like, attention span-wise and, you know, assimilating information over that length of time? Have you done research on that?
One of the things that happened, that's a really good question because it's come up a lot with the 8 o'clock classes. So people often cite studies where young people, and I think faculty do, but young people particularly, their rhythm doesn't peak at 8 o'clock in the morning. So it's better to have classes later. So shifting the whole class day, eliminating 8 o'clock, starting at 10, and going to, say, 6, would be a better biorhythm thing than what we do now. Your attention span thing, that's an important question. There are three basic issues. One is the logistic one, which is if you hold classes 3 days a week as opposed to two, then there's a lot of downtime going to and from classes and studying up and so forth and so on. So you don't really get 50 minutes, you get 45 or 43, and you're going back and forth. So there's also people who argue that 75 minutes, about 60 minutes into it, you know, they start to drift. So, that's up to, when I was an undergraduate, my attention span was about 10 minutes, so none of this would have mattered to me. Thank you.
What was the third reason?
Hmm?
You said there were three reasons. You said logistics, students start drifting after 60 minutes.
Logistics, there was another reason that I got it.
Well, come to let us know. Yeah, I have Jeff, Ashford, Rena, Bob, Marty. I would note that we spent a lot of time on this. Certainly have it sitting here, but just ask that we try and keep comments on the briefer side.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff.
I guess it's still early on in the process, but I'm curious as to how this affects, from the administrative side, course registration in terms of creating timetables and whether that's going to generate more conflict because you have long classes per day, as opposed to the
50-minute
blocks.
Well, in fact, it's the opposite argument.
Hmm, okay.
Is that the 50-minute blocks were in fact interfering with the structuring of 75 minutes? You just carve up the day, but if you run 50 minutes across, then you're really disturbing, mm-hmm. That pattern. On the other hand, the other argument is that labs and seminars, they screw up the day anyway because they're 2-hour, 3-hour blocks. So that's for Charlie and that committee to figure out. It's a very clean system what Harvard has done, but what we saw in the staple didn't have labs and it didn't have seminars, 2-hour seminars and so forth. So we don't know. It would clean it up some. I mean, that's the basic impetus for this is to reduce conflicts.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Next to
that. You mentioned that the Faculty Senate didn't have the final say on this. I was wondering what body has the final say when it comes to decision making. I don't know if you know the answer, Matt.
Yeah, it's going to be the provost. It's. I don't think it'll come through here. It's not a code thing. So. It's going to be the provost. There might be a vote in the Senate, but we never pass. We can't pass or anything. All we do is, recommend, advise. We're not the Senate, so we don't advise and consent. We just advise. So
we can certainly also ask, because I have asked Charlie that either earlier on, we'll find time for him to come and speak to the Assembly and provide more details so we can have a more detailed and structured conversation of where it's going. Next is Rena.
That's okay. Dale asked the question that I had.
Next is Bob.
Yeah, just I missed the fact that the Senate meeting was discussed, so I'm surprised to be hearing this.
it seems incredibly disruptive for the sort of teaching that we do in the biology departments anyway. I'm wondering what the motivation is and how much flexibility there would be. It would require massive restructuring of our classes.
There is some of the departments, not biology, I don't remember which ones in particular, but some of them had objections of that order. It's not the would it be labs that you're
You know, we teach 200, 300, 400 student classes that are highly structured with multiple people in 15-minute units that we fine-tuned. Changing it to 75 minutes is not an easy thing to do.
So is it the other department that had that kind of objection were languages, and they just opted them to teach in that way, to teach in small bursts rather than longer classes. I don't know how that would work. I mean, it defeats the purpose if you make exceptions. So the whole idea is to streamline the thing. So I don't know.
Thank you. I have Marty and then Ashlyn, the second speaker. So Marty.
So I following up on what Bob said, but I actually had the thought of linguistics and languages in mind. You know, my experience in taking languages was spreading it out rather than getting them to 75-minute blocks. Now, of course, there have been language labs since then, but the idea of somebody in front of you actually interacting with you, speaking the language, is a much deeper experience than sitting in front of a box and talking about it. And I'm not bringing this up just to tell you my personal experience. I'm saying that I think this body can think seriously about a resolution objecting to it. And I'd like everybody in their respective ways to consider that. And we could send a strong message as a unified body, faculty, students, even employees. The idea that it's disrupting lecture timing, you know, some people who time their courses, you know, time their lectures as a faculty member, I know, is one thing. You could say, well, you can restructure it and make it longer. But the fact is that 50 minutes is a reasonable amount of information you want to get across, and at three times 50 minutes may have a sensible rationale behind it. But the idea of getting a system in place sounds to me, you know, frankly, suspiciously like some, you know, master planner who has no idea what goes on in the classroom.
Thank you. So I think, as I said, we're hopefully going to have Charlie or someone from the Senate present to us about this, and I think that information will be very helpful. And after receiving that, we could consider if we want a resolution stating we agree with certain things, disagree with other things, because I think this certainly falls within the UA's purview because it affects quite literally the entire campus. But I think it's also important that we hear the information from those who are doing it before we jump to a conclusion. Finally, I have Ashwin.
Yeah, like kind of bouncing off those two points, I think maybe once this goes further in the process, it might be useful for us as an assembly to submit like a sense of the body or conduct surveys with our respective constituents and put that together as a general recommendation to the provost or whoever is making the decision to get more input.
Thank you. So I have Dietrich and then Mari really quick. Dietrich.
This is more of an information question for the assembly, but often on cases like this, I want to hear from my constituents so I can like make an informed decision what my constituents actually think. At what point can I bring this sort of information out to my constituents? At what point is this public enough for me to share? Completely. Okay. So at this point, I can bring this up with anyone.
Yeah.
Perfect. And that's the case for anything. And that's the case for anything brought up at the assembly meetings.
In open session.
Explicitly stated.
Yes. In open session is confidential.
Perfect.
This is open session.
You're allowed to bring 100 of your closest friends to these meetings.
Right. Thanks so much for the clarification.
Yeah, I just want to emphasize one thing in the minutes, and that is the point that you brought up. It was sort of subtle that, oh, this will be Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday, and everybody goes away Friday. I mean, you know, the fact is, and that's not a way to structure an education, you know, a four-day week. I mean, it really seems absolutely idiotic to say you're not going to be here for 5 days. I mean, you know, frankly, when Cornell started, you had 6 days. You did have classes on Saturdays as well. I'm not saying we need classes on Saturdays. I'm just saying, as a part of our consideration, we could ask, why is it that we want to downsize the amount of time that is spent seriously interacting with students?
Marty, on that point, I have a seminar that I offer on only on Fridays. That wasn't my position.
No, I understand it wasn't your position.
It is there. I have had, I know, I'm not going to name names, but vice provosts who have argued that students see it as their right not to have classes on Friday so they can go to the city. And that has been that this has been, so that requirements on Friday have been, in some departments, heavily discouraged for that reason. This is, obviously, there are going to be opinions and positions and interpretations all over the board. I'm not terribly surprised that it's so,
contentious.
Yeah, contentious. I'm a little worried now that I may have overstated what Charlie was about in this. So, Dietrich, don't take votes yet.
Oh, no.
because Charlie would say, I haven't decided, or the committee that he's going to set up hasn't decided anything yet. It's really preliminary. But,
I have Dale, the last person to speak on this topic.
Yeah, I'm just going to ask the chair, can you please get us some information from Charlie on what the timeline of this, what the organization of it is?
That'd be great.
I don't think we're anywhere near the point where we should be asking Charlie to, testify on the subject. I think we all just want to know what the process is going to look like so we know when we can get involved.
Of course, I'd be happy to.
I'm recommending against inviting Charlie to speak on this again because we just had a very long discussion, and I think we should all learn what the process is going to be before we have another discussion.
Well, absolutely. My hope was frankly to speak to Charlie to see where he is in the process to find the best time. I think once there's more proverbial meat in the bones, we can then sit there and actually have a discussion. But I will certainly get more information to the assembly. So that exhausts the speaker list on that. Moving on to committee reports, we have the executive committee first. If you want to do a brief update, Joe.
Brief update. We are continually looking at the calendar for who we invite to our meetings. Title IX is obviously a miss, but we're looking at several others, Campus Store, CPD. Campus Store and CUPD to invite to our meeting, potentially give presentations. We tried with Mayor Savante Myrick. His schedule is just very, very busy. So
we might get him in the spring.
Might get him in the spring, or if need be, if people are interested, finding a special meeting time to sit down and discuss with him as the University Assembly. Also looking at Budget Planning Advisory Committee, trying to shifting the language, just making sure we can get the final locks on that. That should be soon and ready to go. And then something else that we'll talk about later.
Yes. And also just I just one other thing really quick is tobacco. We are working on that. I've been working with the Office of Assemblies. Thank you to Joe and the CWC for their work on this. That will be the essence of the current roadblock is that there needs to be the Office of Assemblies says they don't have the authority to send out a campus-wide survey without a sign-off from someone in the administration. I am currently working with people in senior administration to move that out of the way. I don't think it's going to be a large issue, but I want to make sure the Assembly was aware of that. Marty.
Some small request that we have the Campus Sustainability Office come and speak to us.
Okay, we'll do it. I think we had them,
last year.
We had them earlier in the semester, but I can certainly
follow up on that. Semester.
We had Rick. And then
apologize.
So we can certainly, I can pull the information and forward it to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Suggestion while we're at it, can we sort of follow up on our previous resolution on parking for temporarily disabled students and pregnant students.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And Ethan is a disclaimer. I co-sponsor the resolution. So we can certainly follow up on it. Any other questions? Hearing none, next is CJC.
Yeah, so we're continuing our discussions on all that's been given to us concerning the campus code. We don't look like we have anything close to an actual recommendation by the end of the semester in terms of language, so it'll be going into next semester. If any of you want to be involved in that process or you have suggestions how we can do better outreach, we'd love to hear that because there was a lot of input given to us at the beginning of the semester from the president,
from our working group, from other places, and there's a lot that needs to be done with the campus code, and the CJC is a very small group of individuals. We are going to be having a working group, a working session, not an actual committee meeting that you're all welcome to come to. That's going to be tomorrow afternoon from around 5 to 6:30 in Goldwin Smith 156. Our final two meetings of the semester will be November 7th and November 28th. The Judicial Administrator will be presenting her annual report to the committee on November 7th, if you would like to attend that. And the 7th and 28th meetings are 4:45 to 6 in 163 Day Hall.
Thank you very much. Questions or comments for Dale? Hearing none, we'll move on to the Campus Welfare Committee.
So we've been editing the smoking ban survey that we've also been collaborating with the Executive Committee on. And we recently divided up tasks for a resolution on the child care facilities that Cornell provides, and so we'll be looking into that this semester and next semester.
Thank you so much. Questions or comments for T?
So there is currently a Students with Families Advisory Committee that is run by Jenna LeMay at the grad school, and she actually pulls together everyone that, you know, who are working with students with families, and they have been trying, they are actually looking at the same issue. So if you want to connect with her, it might be a better way than working on things separately.
That'd be great. I'll, see you after for her contact information.
Did you say it's an expansion of the facility?
Oh, we're investigating the facility is sufficient, whether or not it is sufficient for the demand and those kinds of issues, and then hopefully to make recommendations on how we can improve.
Right. When that was originally constructed, which one on Pleasant Grove Road?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where it is.
Yeah.
But there's a new one.
When that was initially constructed, it went through a long process of discussion in the campus infrastructure committee and welfare committees here. Mm-hmm. So we have an important role in that, and you'll have allies amongst people, because it meant that this establishment of a daycare facility is housed in Martha Vann at the time, and transfer of some of those resources. So it'd be useful for you to sort of canvas to see if there's a wider amount of it that could be brought to the committee, and then your opinion would go out from that, you know, with that as a kind of background.
Yeah.
So I have Linda, and I just also a brief story about the UA in the past has had Cornell Child Care come and present to the full assembly. We can certainly explore doing that again if there's interest.
Yeah, one thing is I'm still perplexed over what you said, that the Office of the Assemblies doesn't have the authority to send out a campus-wide email. If once we get this straight, we need to put something in writing so that we don't have to go through this again. I mean, we've been talking about this for 2 years, sending this question out. We've been poised to send it out, and now they're saying they can't. I don't understand this, and so it just seems like...
Of course.
Yeah.
To provide some context, in essence, they more or less said that they have access to lists. They can only use them for elections. I think in my conversation with some senior administrators, I sent an email actually shortly before this meeting, I pointed out that our governing documents, as are the governing documents for all these, given the ability to conduct a referendum, in this case, we're interpreting that to also include a questionnaire, because that's what we're trying to do. So I don't think we need a form of approval, but in essence, that's why I just expressed my concern, saying we don't need other meeting resolution. I think it's just a matter of making sure the senior administration knows what we're doing, and I think it's no reason. I think the optimist should have the authority, and therefore making sure they can, so we can send this out as quickly as possible, because it has been many years that we've been trying to really drive towards this. Any other comments or questions for T? Hearing none. Campus Infrastructure Committee, actually, I sent an email briefly before the meeting. So Marty is the chair, but we're looking to, I think Bob expressed an interest, we can handle that in the executive session.
Right. I'd like to report on the campus planning committee meeting.
We'll do that actually quite a few minutes from now.
Separate. I thought that was a subcommittee.
It's considered, it's a liaison report.
Okay, thank you.
As soon as there's no dissent, we can just do it right now to make it quicker. So, Marty, go ahead.
Well, I know it's quick. But anyway, we had a meeting on October 19th, and we had a long discussion about a covered field facility proposed by the Department of Athletics. on top of, there are several sites suggested, and the one that seems to be optimal from their point of view is on the alumni field, which would be a 370 by 150 foot tarp covered permanent indoor facility on grass. I thought I'd mention it to everybody because it involves infrastructure to a certain point. It involves aesthetics to another point. It's a question. And one of the points that came up in the process was that in the campus master plan, the idea was that athletics would develop in a systematic way the East Hill area, which now has several fields on it. Some of you may access them. And our hope was that maybe this big bubble in the middle of the ag quad area and science area seemed a little bit inappropriate, and we're happy with a nice grass there and an open green space, but this is a huge facility, and people were saying, well, it's a little bit far for athletes to travel to go to where the East Hill area is, where all the fields are, I figured, well, you could run and warm up to get there. But anyway, that's another matter. So I just thought I'd bring that up to you folks. It's percolating. It's in the mix of discussion, and it's being discussed in Campus Planning Committee, which is the body which would do some kind of approval of it. Subsequently, we had Mike Kotnikoff, the University Provost, come to the meeting and discuss just what Campus Planning Committee is about, what's it for, and in the process discussing a new interdisciplinary building that is proposed for and money is pretty much in place for that would be put on the campus up the end of Tower Road before it hits the vet school on the left-hand side in the parking lot and a couple of other places that people probably can imagine knowing that area. And some people were quite surprised that location so far from everything that one could consider be interdisciplinary, that, if there's any place it could be, it might be on the athletic fields, because that's at least closer to where people are actually taking classes rather than having them. So, and the reason it was brought up in the context of the Campus Planning Committee is simply that the Campus Planning Committee thinks about these things, that is where things should go, how land should be used, what kind of building should be there. So I'm bringing these to your attention for you to think about this campus as not just a place where you take classes and learn things, but also an environment. And think about a bubble in the middle of the my fields, 370 by 150 feet. It's a pretty big building, and it's big enough that you could kick a football in it and not touch the ceiling. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Marty. So I have Bob, Dale, and then Ellis.
Thank you, Marty, for bringing that up. Was there any discussion of what the impact on greenhouse gas emissions of the campus would be? I'm personally concerned. I think we've seen a lot of upgrades in emissions over the last...
No discussion whatsoever. That's the answer.
Okay.
Next is Dale.
What, you were talking about building a building on the parking lot by the vet school? Or were you saying on the field? I lost the building over there.
If you go up the end of Tower Road, on the left-hand side, before you get to the vet school buildings, next to Rice Hall, not Rice Hall, what's the name of that, where the Center for Sustainability is?
That's right.
Rice Hall, yeah. Right. Next to Rice Hall, part of this interdisciplinary will be sustainability. And that's another thing to think about.
What is it being built? What's there right now on that land?
Parking lot and some campus, some of the botanical gardens. And that was another objection by the botanical gardens folks.
Is there any objection about the loss of parking? Because I know when they're expanding North Campus, they're also going to take some parking up there. And it seems like we don't have that much parking to keep getting rid of it for more buildings.
I'll leave that to the Transportation Committee to talk about. I mean, yes, that's true. There's a loss of parking, but
I guess my question was that discussed on the committee?
Not at all.
So, They don't care about greenhouse gas emissions or parking. What are they worried about?
Well, they don't care about transportation so much as they should, but that's an editorial comment.
And also, I think Dale, you mentioned at the beginning, my understanding is that they're going to be fencing and they're going to be a bubble over the fields.
No, he's talking about the interdisciplinary building.
You think you would express some confusion. There's the building going on the parking lot and
yeah.
building a bubble over the field.
I got it. I just wasn't sure. I lost track of that.
No problem. Yeah, next to Bella.
You're welcome.
I just want to remind you, there's a limit on what you can do around alumni fields because the synchrotron is right underneath. You cannot put a building there, no matter what you want to do. There were plans to put a building where there are now, they were temporary classrooms for Roberts, if you could remember Stone Hall and Roberts, between Kennedy and Plant Sciences. Okay, these temporary buildings, which look damn permanent to me. Okay. But
that was discussed.
Talk of building there.
That was discussed.
Yeah.
This would be a building which was steel or PVC or God knows what, but as a framework, and then a very strong plastic cover, which then will be up all year round, so you can play indoor sports. Indoor sports.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions for the campus planning committee? Hearing none, we're de facto into the liaison reports. So, policy advisory group, any updates?
No updates.
Thank you. Transportation task force, and the other ones, actually, the other ones listed here, that we're going to be addressing in elections. Are there any liaisons who have reports who I have missed? Hearing none, that actually was in additions. There were none, which then will move us into the, right, Linda, go ahead.
Did you speak on the free transportation to voting?
Oh, thank you for reminding us. Do you want to do it?
I'll do that. So for people curious about voting, there is an initiative through the Public Service Center that are going to have all their vans running all day long on Election Day for students to use, for transportation, for free transportation. In addition, rideshare services are also going free. So Uber is free if you're going to the polls. Lyft, I think, is 50% off. Those are the big three initiatives, but again, would highly recommend people use the Public Service Center one because it's Cornell. And all the voting locations are pretty accessible with the exception of like the elementary school overall. So those are, I think, are the main, the vans are going to be mainly going to the elementary school. But other than that, go vote November 6th.
Thank you very much. Jeff?
Just on that, where's the pickup location?
I don't know, but I'm sure the group formalizing it will push out listing materials, and I'll be sure to send that through our listeners so people can spread it back out.
Thank you. Any other questions regarding election transportation? Hearing none, that exhausts the open session of our agenda. Next up is an executive session. If there is no dissent, I will ask the Assembly to go into executive session to discuss staffing and matters of confidential concern to the Assembly. Is there any dissent? Hearing none. Terrell, you are excused. Thank you very much. If you mind stopping there, we can start our executive session momentarily.
After executive session, are we having a discussion about committees?
Staffing will be in the executive session.
Oh, no, I mean.
He's intending to do that in the executive session.
Oh, like who's going to be the, on the, okay,
yes,
fine,
sorry.
Thank you. Sorry.
The election. We're all set, Terrell. Thank you.
Okay, can I collect everyone?
Yes. Another one.
Yeah.
Who's the Preston?